Some people may wonder, I may have shared some of this with you last Valentine's Day, but some of you may wonder, who in the world is St. Valentine? And I found an article, BibleStudyTools.com, written by Hope Bollinger. And here's some of the things she said, and I have written a few things in there as well, but there seems to be three separate Valentine saints in history. And the real kicker is you don't want to be named Valentine because all of them were martyred, okay, all three of them. And surprisingly, all seem to be killed on February 14th. So you say, well, that's a real bummer. You know what? In the world, why do we celebrate Valentine's Day? But listen to this. Pretty cool story. Of course, I want to say that no one knows for sure, but there's several theories, and here's one possible explanation of who Valentine really was. The Valentine that seems to be the most credible Valentine is the one whose story I now relate. Unfortunately, because St. Valentine lived more than 1,700 years ago, we don't have many solid details on his life. Because, as mentioned before, we don't have 5,600 Greek manuscripts collaborating the evidence and details of his life as we do for the New Testament. We have only some skeletal facts about the life of this saint. First, we do know that St. Valentine lived during the mid to late 3rd century. As a refresher in church history, this was a period of intense persecution in Rome prior to Constantine's reign in Rome in the 300 ADs, where he finally legalized Christianity. So we know that St. Valentine was working as a Roman priest during the reign of an emperor named Claudius. The emperor's nickname, now this is a good one, Claudius the Cruel, C-R-U-E-L. It gives you an idea of the persecution that Christians had under this Claudius. What's more, many Romans experienced some persecution under the emperor as well. But listen to this. Claudius likely believed that the reason the Roman army wasn't as formidable as possible was because husbands wanted to stay at home with their wives and families instead of fighting in wars. To combat this, Claudius made marriage, listen to this, made marriage and engagements illegal in Rome. What do you think about that? To sway male soldiers to stay in the Roman army and not to worry about a spouse back home. Valentine, a proponent of marriage, especially Christian marriage, married many couples in secret. When Claudius II discovered him, he sentenced Valentine to a three-part execution: beating, stoning, and then a beheading. Most believe St. Valentine was killed during the year 270 AD. Apparently, Valentine was also able to heal a blind daughter of a judge, the judge then converting to Christianity after witnessing the miracle. Also, Valentine supposedly wrote a letter in prison signed "From Your Valentine," giving birth to the tradition of sending lovers cards with that same signature, "From Your Valentine." Kind of interesting. Now, I want to tell you again, we don't know for sure, but there are some thoughts. And I can say with very little certainty, can we pinpoint the origin of Valentine's Day? But can I say today, what we're going to preach on, we can say with 100% certainty that our God, the God of the Bible, is indeed the origin and the originator of love. He is not only the origin, but also the originator, if you will, of love. We're going to talk about that today. In particular, the title of the message, a little longer than some, but love. Our love for others, God's love for us, our love for God. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 21. Title of the message, Love. Our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. Now we're interrupting again, I think God wanted me to, talking about the Lord's Prayer. We're going to get back to that. But as we celebrate Valentine's Day, as last Friday, I thought God basically wanted me to talk about love. And we're going to talk about that today from God's Word. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to share a few statistics with you, okay? In the King James Bible, love is mentioned 310 times, the word love, L-O-V-E, 310 times. 131 times in the Old Testament, 179 times in the New Testament. Now, it's interesting, in 1 John, love is mentioned 33 times in the book we're going to look at today, and we're only looking at 15 verses, but get this, 19 times in these 15 verses, the word love is mentioned. And you say, well, oh, that's quite a bit. Yeah, absolutely right. Now, can someone tell me, now I know it's a bright bunch out there, can someone tell me the love chapter in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 13. And instead of using the word love, it uses the word charity, right? Charity. Now, in those verses, there are 13 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love or charity in that case is only mentioned 9 times in 13 verses. In the passage we're going to look at, love is mentioned 19 times in 15 verses. So you'd say this is a pretty good place to go to look at what God has to say about love, right? Okay, Bobby, get with it. Come on, stand up and cheer or something. Say amen. All right, what about the rest of you? Say amen. All right, good, good. We're going to read this, then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Love, our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, if I just read that from a novel or from the newspaper, we wouldn't have to pay a whole lot of attention to it. Y'all agree with that? But guess what? This is the words of God's word, the Bible, right? And so we need to pay attention to it. And did you notice that word? Again, 19 times in 15 verses, the word love was mentioned. Now, we're going to learn to say that word correctly. It's love. Okay? Love. Practice that a little bit. It's love. Okay? On the count of three, I want you to say it all together. Okay? One, two, three. Okay, y'all did pretty good with that. Y'all did pretty good with that. Today we're talking about love. Our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. Point number one, if you're taking notes, we should love others. We should love others. You say, where does that say that? Well, all over the place. But look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, beloved, let us, say it right, what was it say? Love one another. Verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? to love one another. Verse 21, it says, in this commandment, not a suggestion, right? Too many people that call themselves Christians look at the Word of God as a bunch of suggestions or helpful hints instead of the commandments of God. It says, in this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You see, I know this isn't rocket science here, but we should love one another. We should love other people. Now, the idea of loving one another and loving one another, you know, 1 John, written to Christians, says beloved and all that in, as he writes, written to Christians. And I do believe that love starts at home, but guess what? Like in the church, in the family of God, but we're supposed to love everybody. One of the defining qualities of a Christian ought to be their love for everybody. Y'all agree with that? But the truth of the matter is, some people are easier to love than others. Y'all figured that out? There's some people that are a whole lot easier to love than others. But that really is no excuse to not love every man, woman, teenager, and child. Now, you say, preacher, I watch television, I watch the news, and I see all those yahoos on television, and let me tell you, I don't agree with those people. And you say, what? I don't agree with them either, a lot of them. With the far, far left bunch, you know. and the left, about anybody. You know, you look at it and like, you know, a bunch of people that need Jesus. But even the people that we disagree with, and even the people that want to destroy Christians and Christianity, we have the responsibility to still love those people. Now, it's getting quieter in here than where I go. Now, I didn't say, again, I said it may not be easy. And we may not agree with what they do. We may not love their sin. In fact, we're not supposed to love sin in any way, shape, or form. But we need to love people. If people that are so radical and are so out there, if they're ever to find salvation, it's going to be by us loving them and sharing the gospel, right? I mean, if we shun them, I remember back in Middleburn, one of the leaders in another church, a different denomination that we would disagree with even on salvation. And I remember how curt and how short this guy was, it seemed, with other people. You know, like if you didn't agree with him 100%, it's like, You know, I'm thinking, well, yeah, you're being a real appealing to people to want to know Jesus. You see, we need to love everybody. Now, I know, I mean, newsflash, right? Preacher, I know that, I've heard. Well, are we putting it in practicality? Today we're talking about love. Our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. First of all, we should love others, is point one. Number two, when we love others, we show that we are saved. When we love others, we show that we are saved. There's several times in this passage of Scripture. You notice verse 7. Listen. It says in verse 7, and everyone that loveth, is born of God and knoweth God. You see, when we love others, we're showing that we're truly saved ourselves. Right? Verse 8, it says the opposite of that. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So when we show love to other people, we're showing whose side we're on. Now, that love should absolutely start in the family of God, right? And in the local church, right? Now, I've been in some situations where people are anything but loving, even in church. And again, we may not agree on everything, but we have the mandate. We have the commandment to show love to one another. And when we conduct ourselves that way in the midst of Christians and even in the midst of the unsaved world, guess what? We're declaring whose side we're on. We're on God's side, right? That's not all. Look at verse 12. I know we're kind of jumping through this a bit, but in order to kind of categorize these verses and what they're saying and summarize it, this is the best way I could find to do it. It says in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, what's it say? God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or matured in us. You see, the Word of God in this chapter says, when we love others, we show that we are saved. And one of the things that's mentioned here that helps us love other people, notice in verse 13, the Holy Spirit enables us to love other people. You know, it's not natural to love people that we don't agree with. It's not natural to love people because we're selfish individuals, right? But when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and we have been born again and we have been changed, the old flesh might say, oh, you don't want to love those people. They're weird. Holy Spirit says, yeah, but they're created in the image of God. You need to love those people. Notice it mentions the Holy Spirit here in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his what? Of his Spirit. And then notice it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. I'm thankful that for those of us, when it talks about having seen and testifying and confessing, sounds like someone who's trusted the Lord as Savior, right? And if that be the case, at the instant of salvation, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Now that should stir a little bit. Come on, Bobby. That should stir a little bit of response that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And that Holy Spirit is called, when before Jesus left to go back to heaven, he taught his disciples. And he said, you're going to have a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. You know how thankful I am for the Holy Spirit? And that Holy Spirit, you say, oh, I can't love people like that. My neighbor, I can't love my neighbor. You know what my neighbor did? I saw him. He moved my fence posts over. I saw him do it. I can't love him. Yes, you can. Not on your own, but because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And when you show that old rotten rascal that you love him, he might be an old rotten rascal, right? But when you show him that you love him, you're showing that you're on God's side. You see, point number two, when we love others, we show that we are saved. And drop down to verse 16. And it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, for he that dwelleth in love, we that show love, we that dwell in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. You say, how in the world does God live in us? What I said before, the Holy Spirit. You see, when we love others, we show that we are saved. You know, when I fully support a sports team, now, sometimes I might go to games that I'm kind of, I'm thinking high school football, maybe, or maybe a basketball game or something. But when I go to a sporting event and I'm fully behind one of the teams, y'all with me on this? I want to wear the colors of that team. And if I have something that has, like, going to a Liberty football game, I want to wear something that's either red, white, or blue. That's good because my high school, Midland Trail, they're red, white, and blue too. So that works out pretty good. So I want to wear something red, white, and blue. And if I have preferably something with an L on it or Liberty written on it or something like that, y'all get the point? You see, when we show people love, it's like we're wearing the colors of God. we're identifying with the Lord when we love people. And really the challenge is not to love lovely people. The challenge is to love people who are unlovely. Make sense? But when we show love, we're showing that we're really born again. But we all quiet today. I'm going to have to jump over the handrail or something. The altar there, you think? I better not. We're talking about love. Our love for others. God's love for us. Our love for God. I guess I should have known it was a bad sign when a huge spider came out from the mic there just a little bit ago. I was about ready to have y'all stand and sing a song in this spider. It really wasn't that big, but it was one of those juicy, meaty-looking things that looked kind of like they could be dangerous. And he comes out, and I thought, well, what do I got to kill it? So I just went like that. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Number one, we should love others. Number two, when we love others, we show that we are saved. Number three, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat. Now, you've heard this verse, and you very well could have heard this verse misunderstood and misinterpreted. But let me say the point one more time. Point number three, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat. Now, let me ask you, don't you think a big part of the Christian life, again, we're supposed to be identified by our love, right? You know, remember, now you got to kind of put this in context. How big of a deal is this love thing? Well, when Jesus was asked, remember one of the publicans came up to him? And of course, they were trying to trick him. And as best I remember, when the Sadducees kind of gave up because they failed at tricking Jesus or at catching him up in something, one of the Pharisees came and asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And do you remember what Jesus said? He not only gave number one commandment, he gave number two commandment and basically said all of the law and the prophets are summarized in these two commandments. And guess what? Both of them had to do with love. He said, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Boom. That's number one. Love, right? And the number two commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, they tried to catch him up. Well, who's my neighbor? Trying to justify themselves. And the point, remember the Good Samaritan? The point is everybody is your neighbor. It's not someone who lives next door to you. Everybody is your neighbor. So when Jesus summarizes following God with two commandments about love and being faithful, it should not surprise us that when we get love right, our love for God, and love right in loving other people, there's no fear of the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to show you where that's at in this passage. But see, someday every Christian, is going to be found at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be looking Jesus right eye to eye. And we're not judged about whether we're going to heaven or not. We're judged according how much have I served the Lord. What about my service? And there's going to be a lot of embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm not saying with you guys, I'm not saying to people that aren't even here, I'm saying there's going to be a lot of embarrassment when we stand before God and figure out what we could have done and should have done, but we were just too whatever. Lazy, preoccupied, you know, involved too much in the world or whatever. We're going to stand there. Notice what this verse says. Notice what it says. I'm going to build the argument first, then you'll see the judgment in there. Look at verse 17. It says, herein is our love made perfect or mature that we may have boldness in the, what? Day of judgment. You know what? The only day of judgment that we as Christians will have is at the judgment seat of Christ. And when we get love for God and love for other people and we're serving God, we get that down better, we can have, it says, boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Then it goes on, it says, there is no fear in love. So if we got loving God and loving others down pat, we don't have to be afraid and dread the judgment seat of Christ. Because if we get that right, as Jesus summarized, commandment number one, commandment number two, and if you get these, all of the law and the prophets are summarized in that, it's basic. This is a key element, folks. Love God, love others. And if you get that down pat, it says there's no fear when you have that kind of love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then notice what it says. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear about judgment from God when we stand before Him. Do you kind of get the idea of how important love is in our lives? You know, Valentine's Day is a great day to show the one you love that you appreciate him and love him. Absolutely. But love is bigger than Valentine's Day. You see, when you're in a court of law and you're innocent and you're telling the truth, now, innocent and telling the truth, isn't there a certain degree of boldness that you'd have when you're in court? Yes, when you're brought up on the witness stand. In a similar way, when we stand before the Lord, if we have the maturity to love God the way we should, and to love others the way that we should, we can have that same boldness and not fear. Now, let me say, lest you think that we somehow arrive at some point. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to arrive at a point of perfection and love God the way I should. And I'm going to arrive at a point of perfection where I love others the way I should. Now, in this context, perfect means mature. It doesn't mean without error or without sin. You with me on that? But let me ask you, do you think it's something we all can work on? Not that we'll get to that point. But is there anyone here that would stand up and say, Preacher, I love God as much as I can. I cannot go high any higher. I cannot love him anymore. The point is, we're all a work in progress, right? And I don't think there's anyone here that says, I love my fellow human beings the way that I should. I hear most of us say, well, I'm a work in progress on that. Today we're talking about love. Our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. Number one, we should love others. Duh. Number two, when we love others, we show that we're saved. Number three, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat of Christ. Number four, God's nature is love. God's very nature is love. You say, where's that at, preacher? Well, back to verse 7. Notice, beloved, let us love one another for, what does it say? For love is of God. Where did love come from? It come from God. And it says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. And here it is, kaboom, for God is love. His very nature is love. Everything about God is love. We ought to be thankful for that, because God, as God, could have been mean. You know, we could be reading some other book that God had written, because God was so different, and it says, for God is hatred. But it's not. Our God, the God of the Bible, it says, for God is love. His very nature is love. He's the originator. It says, for love is of God. He set forth the picture of love to us. So he's even the originator. You say, where did love come from? God. Who is the perfect picture of love? God. Notice also one other place, verse 16, it repeats it. Notice what it says in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. There it is again. God is love. Three times in particular, God's nature is love. Now, are y'all familiar with core drillings? Have you ever heard that terminology of a core drilling? Now, sometimes engineers and geologists, to figure out what's beneath the earth, for an engineering perspective, how solid is the ground? Is it going to slip? Is it going to give way? Because we want to build this big old building or something, right? Geologists sometimes go dig down and do a core drilling to see what's down there to give them a clue about whether they're going to strike natural gas or oil or whatever in the earth. And it's a pretty good sized drill that goes down, and when it goes down and they pull it back out, it has the layer of earth down through there. And it says, okay, here's a layer of this, here's a layer of this, here's a layer of this, here's a layer of this. Now, my point is, if you could do a core drilling of God, guess what? You'd look at that core drilling and says, it's all love. Look at that. From start to finish, all the way down, all the way through, our God is love. Now, God is also a God of justice, but God is through and through a God of love. For God is love. Today, love. Our love for others, God's love for us, our love for God. We should love others. Number two, when we love others, we show that we're saved. Third, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat, because perfect love casts out fear. Mature love casts out fear at the judgment seat. Number four, God's nature is love. Number five, God's love is an active, genuine love. Now, this is big. If you've slept through everything so far, listen to this, okay? Are you ready? God's love is not one of those, oh, I just love you. You're on your own. God's love is a genuine, authentic, I'd call it an active love. And it's shown in these verses. Pay attention to these verses if you would. Look at verse 9. Notice what it says. In this was manifested or shown or demonstrated the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You see, God just didn't from some heavenly abode look down there and say, I want to let everybody know that I love you. Get on a bullhorn or something. He says, I'm not only going to tell you I love you, I'm going to show that I love you. He did it by sending Jesus. Sounds a lot like John 3:16, doesn't it? It's an active, genuine love. But look at verse 10. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's just not a wee little tiny bit of love. He so loved us. Just like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. You see, God's love is not a theoretical love. God's love is an active love. God's love is a genuine love. God's love is a sincere love. He sent his Son. Notice what it says. It says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be what? The propitiation for our sins. Now that's a big spiritual word. Do you know what it means? It means the covering or the satisfaction for our sins. And it says that he loved us so much he sent his Son to cover our sins, to be the satisfaction or the payment of our sin. You see, God's love is a genuine, authentic, active love. And it's mentioned several times here. Verse 11, as I mentioned before, if God so loved us. You know, I'm thankful that God is not a God that just shouts out certain things to us, but he shows us. He demonstrates his love by sending his son Jesus to this earth to be the satisfaction that is, or the covering for our sins. Without that, we could not go to heaven. Aren't you thankful that our God's love is real? It's active. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth," that's the other word, he showed or demonstrated, "but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He demonstrated his love. You know, if you've been married to someone for 50 years, but you never got a card on Valentine's Day, you never got a gift, and you never even got a Valentine wish, like Happy Valentine's Day. But your spouse says all the time, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Is that active, genuine love? I don't know. It seems to me that active, genuine love actually does something, right? And I'm not saying, some of you go home and say, "Preacher said you didn't love me. You haven't got me a car." No, I'm not saying that. Then I know there's times you might miss and all that. But do you see the point? If you really love somebody, you're going to show them that you love them. Today, love, our love for others, God's love for us, our love for God. We should love others. When we love others, we show that we're saved. When we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat. God's nature is love. God's love is an active, genuine love. Number six. Last point. We love God because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. It's spoken very clearly in verse 19. It says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know, God initiated the love relationship that we have with God. He started it. He initiated it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice what it says. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In other words, that verse says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Some would say he just poured it in abundance upon us. And he's the one that started this whole love relationship we have with God. He's the one that initiated it. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know, we'll ask them sometimes, well, how did you two meet? You husband and wife, how did y'all meet? One of them sometimes will say something like this: well, the first time I laid my eyes on her, I knew that she was the one for me. And then more than not, or at least several times, let's say, we hear the wife say, when I first met him, I didn't even like him. I didn't like his personality. I didn't like the way, you know, whatever. That's kind of a picture of our love relationship with God. We were sinners. We weren't caring about God. We didn't care about the things of God. But he says, you know what? I'm going to show you how much I love you. And that's big. If he'd have waited for us to come around and say, we love you, God, send Jesus, he said, no, I'm going to initiate it. And the reason we love him is because he first loved us. Wow. That's almost enough to make a Baptist shout. Wow. We love him because he first loved us. Today, we've been talking about, I'll repeat it one more time, love. Our love for others, God's love for us, and our love for God. Point number one in the message today, we should love others. We should love others. Number two, when we love others, we show that we're saved. We show whose side we're on. Third, when we mature in the love of God and in the love of others, we can be bold, because if you got that right, most things are going to filter out okay in your life because you're serving him. So we can be bold and without fear at the judgment seat of Christ. Number four, God's nature is love all the way through. He is the very essence of love. He started love. Number five, God's love is an active, genuine love. He showed us that he loved us. And point number six, we love God because he first loved us. The only reason we're saved today, the only reason we have hope for the future, knowing that we're going to spend eternity with him, is because God loved us first. Now, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm saved. I know Jesus as my Savior. Can I tell you this? God's love for us is a perfect love. God's love for us is a pure love. And to that we can say, praise the Lord. But guess what? Our love is not perfect. God's love is perfect. Our love is not perfect. So I have a real specific challenge to you today. Since our love is not perfect, I would encourage you, if you're able and God leads you, as we sing here in a moment, Love Lifted Me, I'm going to encourage you to come to the altar and ask God two things. God, would you please help me to love people more? And secondly, God, would you help me to love you more? This love thing is a big deal. Because if we get that right, it's most likely, as I said, other things will fall into place. So if you know Jesus as your Savior, that's the invitation. That's the invitation. Would you simply pray, call out to God in prayer as the song is played, and again, the altar is open. Come to the altar is what my encouragement would be to you. But would you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love people more. Because I'm sure you got a ways to go. I've sure got a ways to go in both of those areas. But would you do that today in this message about love? But if you're here today and you're lost, you've never ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, can I encourage you to accept God's love for you today? Would you accept God's love for you in salvation? And as you come forward today to be saved, you know, God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die. His Son, his only Son. Would you accept that love by being saved? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was God's Son who died for me on the cross. I confess Jesus as my Savior. When you accept that love of God in your heart and life, make that decision, you can be born again. You can leave this place saying, you know what? If something happens to me, I know where I'm going. It's not a matter of a chance. It's not a matter of a flip of a coin. I know that I know that I know that I know that I trusted Jesus from my heart. So if you're here today and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus, today's the day. You come forward. I'll be somewhere down around front. You come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. And we can talk about it. You can ask any questions. And I can pray with you, and you can pray to God from your heart, and you can leave this place knowing the love of God in your heart, in your life, and have eternal life. I'd encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts, move our hearts as Christians, Lord, to really desire more love for you and more love for others. Help us with that. Help folks to be bold and to be leaders and to step out and come to the altar for those that know Christ. Lord, for those that don't, I pray that they may accept the love that you have for them through Jesus and be saved today. We pray this in Jesus' name.